Thank you, Lois. My name is Jim LaShawn. I haven't had the privilege of meeting all of you, but many, if not most of you. I get to be the Vice President of Academics here and also the Director of the Master's Programs, and many of you someday need to be in probably our Master's Program. I get the privilege today of introducing to you our speaker, and this is an individual that I've had the opportunity of working with now for the last 3 years, and just one room separating our offices, and so that's given an opportunity over these years to be able to observe him closely. For those of you who are upperclassmen, you're going to hear me say some things you've heard me say before in relation to him, and as I reflected on that, it's because I think one of the characteristics of this individual is that there's a consistency about him, and it's a consistency that I appreciate and I know is actually very important here for this place. Just a few thoughts. One is that he is approachable. And that is something both, I think, by nature as well as by choice, by design for him. He really does care about people and wants you to get to know him, and he wants to get to know you. He doesn't have a secretary who filters conversations that come into his office. I think sometimes maybe that is not always as helpful, but the reality is it's a part of a strategy, not just happenstance. You really are genuinely welcome to come and talk with him, and I encourage you to do that. I don't know if you realize, but that is not the case for every president of an institution of colleges and universities in this country. That is a unique opportunity that I encourage you as students to take advantage of, to get to know him and let him get to know you. He's a man of vision. One of the things that I've observed and appreciated about Royce is that he not only sees the things that are, but he genuinely does dream big. He sees things that are not there yet. And I've seen that just even in the last year, since the last time I had an opportunity to introduce him. In relation to building buildings, in relation to starting new programs, in relation to raising up the next generation of leaders, in relation to seeing and thinking and praying about how Berklee College can be a part of training leaders around the world. I've seen some big dreams and strategies to get after those dreams. He's approachable, he's a man of vision, but I've also seen in him a man of deep commitment. I've seen that especially just in these last few months as we have been praying for you at his direction, inviting us to pray at 3 o'clock each day for the students that God would bring here to Berklee College. You have been prayed for, not just by your grandmother, who is praying that you would go to a Christian college, or some other friend or relative, but you've been prayed for by the president of this institution, even though he didn't know your name yet. He's a man who's committed to prayer, a man who's committed to the mission of this place, and Justin reminded us of that mission to prepare students in a Bible-centered environment for effective Christian life, service, and leadership. What I can tell you is that I've seen that up close, not just in the public persona, but I've seen that behind closed doors in conversations, that you're seeing the same guy out front as well as behind the scenes in terms of a commitment to that vision. So a man who cares about you, who loves the church, loves his family, who cares about the mission of Berklee College and being a part of what God wants to do in this place, helping you to make a difference in the world for Christ. And so it is my privilege to introduce to you today the president of Berklee College, who will be sharing with us, Dr. Royce Frazier.
Thanks, Jim, for that very gracious introduction. And Justin, I think you're a great speaker. I thought that was just, everybody's a leader. Bandura thought of that when he created his social learning theory. Jesus beat him to it, though. Let your light shine, the very verse that we just read. You are all leaders, and God is wants to direct your life and help you fulfill that. Well, I want to welcome you to the 2015-2016 academic year. It's a privilege to get to go through this journey with each one of you. As Jim says, we have prayed for you this year. My little alarm went off all summer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, not in the morning, and I prayed for you that God would bring us the people he wanted here, and then also prayed for us that we would be the people, the mentors that you need. I prayed for wisdom for our faculty and staff and administration, for insights, for patience, yes, and for our skill, that we would craft well our disciplines and our faith as we live it before you. So as mentors and leaders and teachers before you this year, I just believe God has great things planned for us as we move forward. As we prayed this summer, I have been drawn to a passage of Scripture in Isaiah 6:8. Isaiah's just entered the Holy of Holies and has been confronted by the power and the glory and the majesty of God. And it goes something like this in Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to the other and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts and the door were shaken at the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man with unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and you, your sin purged." Then comes this verse 8, which just rivets me. "Also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" This is where I want to live this year. Awestruck in the presence of the Lord, high and lifted up, understanding the power and majesty of God who loved me and you enough to send his son to die for us, then raised him again so that he would purge us, we would draw us to him, and then that we would hear the voice ask, "Who will go for us?" And then that we would be prepared to say, "Here am I, send me." That's what I want to live this year. How about you? But let me take a moment and talk about being sent and how that happens. Let's think for a moment about the world out there. I cited in my opening address to the welcome to the students and the student orientation this fact, and this just makes me cringe. Across the nation, in every college and university across the nation, 45.8%, nearly 50% of all the students that enter the freshman year don't return to complete their education. And the reason that concerns me is because for the Christian world, for Christian colleges, it means that people and believers go out unprepared. The population that attends church, you see up there in 1990, 20%, 2000, 18%, 17%. And during that time, our population in the United States grew 18%. Workers for the harvest, and yet not prepared. Who will minister to the next generations? Who will deal with the difficult questions in our culture? Who will think in new ways? Who will renew their minds enough to answer these questions? And what generation will apply themselves enough to address a fast-changing world? And our world is changing fast. Did you know that China will soon be the number one English-speaking country in the world? Did you know that during the first 2 minutes of my speech, 60 babies were born in the United States, 244 babies were born in China, and 391 babies were born in India? And in India, the top 28% of the students with the highest IQs are the honor students, and India has more honor students than we have students in the United States. The world is changing fast, and it demands that we be prepared, not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Where will we learn this? How will we do this? God has brought us together today in this place. Someone has said, nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. What's the something God's calling you to do today? In this leg of the race, here and now, it means being transformed in an academic, faith-driven community called Barclay College. It means following and allowing Scripture and faith to transform every thought, every dream, every idea, every insight, and every discipline. Nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. What is your something? Let me just conclude and be brief and bring this to a point. Each of us has been called to this place in this time. We are called to enter this educational community, this faith community, to prepare for the next step in our life, both you and us. Since God is the one who orchestrated this call and has brought us together, we owe it to Him to do our best. Give our best effort and be best prepared. The question before us is not to change the world, but rather, how will you change your world? How will I change my world? The world where God plants you, the world where God leads you and calls you to be present. It is men and women who are prepared that will change the world, but will do it one person at a time. The world needs you and is anticipating you. But let me just tell you, you need Jesus. Jesus needs to be our solution before it can be India's solution or China's solution or Africa's solution. He has to be our solution before it can be the Methodist Church solution or the Baptist Church solution or the Friends Church solution or any church's solution. So I challenge you this year that you must be a compassionate learner who demonstrates a transformed life, transformed mind, because in the future, you will be asked to fulfill roles that demand vision, roles that require commitment, roles that call for God's reflection, roles that call for courage, roles that are sometimes uncertain, roles that may not be easy. There are roles that will cause you and I to pause before God and ask how and when and what if and sometimes why me. Roles that require humility. So my prayer this year is that we all hear God's voice, but most importantly, we will all find a new and vital and meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ. That we find ourselves in the presence of the Lord of hosts, high and lifted up. We must know Him before we can hear Him. Jesus needs to be our solution before He can be the world's solution. So let's commit ourselves to the business of renewing our mind this year so we can hear the voice of God more clearly. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Who? Let me pray with you. Father, boy, as we come here for this new year, boy, will you just renew our minds? Will you stir our hearts? Will you make us your people? May we meet you high and lifted up this year. Father, I pray for our faculty that we'll have a new sense, a wonderment about the journey of learning and discovery. Would you renew our minds? Would you bring new insights as we journey? Would you, boy, just help us to be the people we need to be as you have entrusted these students into our care. Father, for these students, may you just become more real to them throughout this year. May they encounter you in ways that they have never imagined or never experienced. And Father, I just desperately pray for the preparation to meet the needs of a fast-changing world, because this will be the generation that will face it. This will be the generation that has to meet those needs. So, Father, just give them, boy, just give them strength for the long haul of the college work, of making it to the goal of graduating. Mold us into your people for your work, for this time, for this place. Father, here we are. Send us. Let us be the part of your work to change lives for eternity. All God's people said, amen. Thank you. Let's change the world.